Now, to our invitational speech, and hopefully it will be a good one. It is basically about sin. We have the Ten Commandments, and they tell us about, I would consider, the big sins, or the egregious sins. But tonight I would like to concentrate, or point out, that there are so-called small sins. Big sins and small sins, in the view of Christ, are equally, we keep distance from God. They are equally effective in keeping distance from God. So there is no big sin, small sin, but in my mind, I'm, if you will, trying to think of less egregious sins than committing adultery or something like this. And I have a few examples which will point this out. They still are a sin and separate us from God. And they're very easily, if you will, committed because sometimes you're not even thinking about these types of sins. The first one is a sense of humor. And I came across this in drawing, and I will describe it as a specious piece of humor, as in, on the first look of it, just glancing at it, I was thinking, I've got to make photocopies of this and pass it out. And then I started thinking about it, and I realized how much it was wrong in its concept and would be a sin in doing that, photocopying and passing it out. And what it was, I showed, if you will, Jeremy Cox this picture, and it was a female hand out of a cloud pointing down at the two men on camels. And the men naturally said, "This will take some explaining." Well, ha ha ha, that was cute, but it was wrong in its concept. And I pointed out to Jeremy Cox, which verse is it? John 1:18. And there also is a second one, 1 John 4:12. And both of them state that no man hath seen God. And so that's what I thought was wrong with the cartoon, and then Mr. Cox pointed out to me that the Bible, throughout the Bible, we refer to Jesus, refer to God as the Father, our Father, and so that's another thought that made the cartoon wrong or ineffective. And the second one, of a small sin, so to speak, is I was concentrating on the Lord's Supper. Get the bread, concentrating, and then get the wine. Got the small cup of wine, and that's it. And then thought about 5 more seconds of the Lord. And then my thoughts started wondering about the things to do in the afternoon instead of concentrating and finishing my thoughts on the Lord. The remembrance of the Lord as I was supposed to. That could be considered a sin also. And the two things that I like to concentrate mainly is the resurrection of the Lord is, if you will, the resurrection and the judgment. You can find that in John 5:22 and verse 27, and also I concentrate a lot or heavily on the verse Jude 15, and that's what I concentrate during the Lord's Supper. Now the third one, our third so-called small sin, is our euphemisms. I've tried to solve this problem myself, my own personal problem, where I would say San Antonio. Well, that seemingly seemed innocent, but I started noticing I had the same emotional bad thoughts in my heart. So I've eliminated that, and I'm not sure that there is a solution other than not to use euphemisms or the bad words themselves. And the fourth one is double dipping. That's an interesting concept, and it came about to me via a unchristian friend. He came up to me and he said this. He was a voting judge, and this was a Tuesday during a certain election, you know, way back in the 90s. And I was working at a Colonial Country Club, and he said to me, "Come out and be a voting judge." Well, I thought about that. Let me see. I can call in sick, which is lying to my employers. That's the first problem. And then the second one, I would simply be the election judge, and I could possibly be seen by colonial people there while doing the election. A double trouble, if you will. And so that's the small sin that could and does happen with double dipping. Now, the last one, I went to the Bible and I got a verse which kind of summed it up, and it's talking about true religion, and it's James 1:27, and this partial verse, I'll say part of it, well, the meaning of true religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, my thought after reading that verse was a person needs to exhibit his humbleness, and if you do this, do as this verse says, you will be humble, and also you'll have to have a bit of compassion, which it brings back to mind Old South Pancake House. And I was thinking, as this man in his 80s and his friend, and they were just walking across my field of vision, and I happened to look up at the time, and there's a man's fly straight open. Okay, two decisions. Go tell him of the problem, or not to tell him and just let someone else do it. Well, I thought of that for a few seconds, and if you will, because of my compassion, and I was humble in the way I presented it, after one or two minutes, I went over to their table. They had ordered, and they were all sitting in a booth, and I turned to not the man with the problem, but I turned to his friend, and I said, "Sir, your friend has his fly open." And of course, you saw his hand, the man with the problem, his hand go down, zip, and he said, "Thank you very much." And I felt so good after doing that. Now, I was thinking there must be something else a person can do. And if you're having a lazy day or a day with lots of time, there is a decision which you can make to exhibit your humbleness and compassion. And I thought of one example, and that would be to visit the nursing home and provide entertainment for them, or counseling for them, or some, if you will, inviting yourself to help them in some way, and that would cheer up their day. And I'm at the end of the speech, and those are all the examples. I'm sure there are more examples of small sins, but this exhibits that the devil is constantly deriving new ways to enter our lives. And tonight, the speech is over, and I want to say that invitational speech has a concept of offering you an opportunity to come down here and spiritual guidance. And there's many people will be asking for repentance, confession of God, and confession of God that it should be. Confession that Jesus is God's Son, and also be baptized. Now, I found three individual, verses by Jesus Christ himself, which will sum up these three acts. And the first one is repent, and is found in Matthew 4:17, it's talking about repent, for the kingdom of heaven is in mind. And as far as confession, that comes from Matthew 10:32, and I'll read the verse itself. I've got it to the Open Bible. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, very important, confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And the last act in which we to be saved, we ask of you, would be to be baptized. And this is a partial, if you will, verse. And it's talking about baptized. It's in Matthew 28:19. To be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And if you are in need of being saved tonight or any other spiritual matter, we would ask that you take this opportunity and come tonight.